It's good to see everyone. I want to do several things today. I want to preach to you, and I also want to try to teach to you. The young men over here in the corner who are Anthony and my students are getting me excited about several things, and one of the things that I was excited about was a new program called Bible Works. And I have a display of that on the screen. And Sarah bought this wonderful $3 pen that I'll point to a couple things. But this is a command line. You can type in anything you want, and it'll tell you how many times it occurs in the Bible. I just think, Dennis, this is just a glorified Young's Concordance, by the way. That's all it is. It's a glorified Young's and Strong's Concordance. But the nice thing, you have different versions, King James, NAS, NASB, updated, and you can type anything in. And so that's kind of a lot of where the numbers are. And I put in the appendices a lot of the numbers, but let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today, and we ask your blessing on us. Lord God, Abba, El Shaddai, we just ask that you draw close to us today, and we pray that you would bless us in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 12, let me read a few verses to get me focused and on the spiritual aspects. The voice of God, the Father, comes to Jesus three times, and you probably know those three at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Three additional words. Does anybody remember the words?
Listen to him.
Thank you. Listen to him. Your Father in heaven says, listen to him. In fact, John 12:49, it says, my Father's told me what to say and how to say it. Now that's pretty bold, isn't it? And then the final time, it's in John 12:28. In Gethsemane, going into Jerusalem, trying entrance and all that stuff. But in 12:28 it says, John, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came out of heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again in all that you do. Isn't that beautiful? So I have this message, if you will. I thought you would call me Father based on Jeremiah 3. All of these things God tells us about creation. He saves the world through Noah. He calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he creates a nation. They go down to Egypt. He brings them back. We'll look at Exodus 3 and 6, where God reveals more of himself. But in all of those testings and trials, and even in our day to day, God says to you and to me, I thought you would call me Father. Isn't that beautiful? That's so beautiful. So I come from this Southern Baptist background in Southern Louisiana, and there were only two churches in the community, both Southern Baptist, Scott. So guess where I went? To a Southern Baptist church. And I knew something about God, you know. And I'll tell you, I have a little illustration after we get into it a minute about what my grandmother thought about things. But this is a very important subject. God says to the people of Israel in Jeremiah's time, when they were going down right before 586 B.C., I thought you would call me Father. Now looking at the paper, though there are many sad verses in the Bible, one of the saddest is Jeremiah 3:19, when the Lord speaks and says, I myself, how gladly I would have treated you as sons and give you a desirable land. That's that land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. And I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. I'm not going to read the paper. I want to preach at you today. I'm going to be a Pentecostal wannabe, Dan. And so here we go. You know, so A lot of things have happened, and I'll summarize it just a little bit, not reading the paper, but last January, my mother died from a very freak. She pierced her esophagus on Christmas Day, and she died shortly in January 2008. And going back home, my fellow pastor, Rufus Myers, I attend his church and also Brother Joe Myers' church, but he called for a veggie fast, kind of a Daniel fast in the month of January 2008. So I decided to do that. And since I was going to Africa, Rebecca and I were going to Africa, we were going to 5 countries, the most we've ever done. I said, you know, I need to get serious about this. And I went into this extended veggie fast until June when we left. And so I was doing that, and just a lot of things started to happen. And I just felt, I need to consecrate myself to the Lord my God. I need to get in some serious study about who my Father is. And this is a result of that. So skipping down to the fourth paragraph, I decided to consecrate myself to the Lord my God. And as a tabernacle, and Aaron and his sons were washed and cleansed and dedicated and consecrated by anointing, Mashiach, to the Lord God before their service, I'd try that process too as much as I knew how. So I began reading on the Lord God, Yahweh, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Since Yahweh is used 6,828 times. Now that's about as good as I can do for emphasis. You know, 7,000 times the name of the Lord God is given. Even God in the New American Standard is only used 3,060 times, about half of the proper name Yahweh. And so I asked myself, should it not be a priority to try to dig a little bit deeper in this? So I began with an intense Hebrew study, Deuteronomy 28. Because you did not serve Yahweh, the Lord your God, with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. And so be careful. If you are not careful to fear and honor this awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. That's a little scary. Like a crocodile coming out of a river at you. I had a dream about that. If you know, and we went to the Congo, and the Congo is a beautiful, haunting place. And with Sean's father, Vince Finnegan, and we were in the middle of a lot of witchcraft and sorcery and hunger and HIV and pain. And one day Vince and I were walking home from the church to the motel. It was about a quarter mile away. And I just started crying. I said, Vince, how are we going to deal with this? And he says, we got to turn it over to God. Only our Father can handle this stuff. And we were reading those plagues out of Deuteronomy. And verse 7 says, because you did not serve Yahweh your God. Deuteronomy 28:47. And the other verse there is Deuteronomy 28:58. If you're not careful to observe the words of the book and fear and honor this awesome name, Yahweh your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants. Do you want extraordinary plagues, Sharon? I don't think so. Ori, do you want extra? I want to be blessed by God. I want to be blessed by God. You know, the high priest of Israel had on his headband Kodesh Yahweh, holy to the Lord. And so I know you never do this much, but in the very front of your Bibles, what is VII? Roman numeral VII. You have a little explanation of why they translate Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the tetragrammaton, if you will. And so it says right there, if you have an NSB on VII, the proper name of God in the Old Testament. How is it, and I ask you, as you have read that, and if you have read that, why did we go from a proper name to a generic Lord? I just ask you now, not being rude, crude, Robin, why did we go from a proper name, every other name in the Bible, Jehoshaphat, Yosef, Yehoshua, we've all tried to at least attempt to translate in the New Testament, haven't we? Yes. Except for this one. So I'm not being radical. I'm not going crazy on you, but I think it's kind of important. Why? We need to ask why. Scott, why? Why? Oh, thank you. Is that my water? Could you tell I was getting dry, Robin? I slowed down. Second page. I'll speed up. Very thoughtful of you. So where do you begin to study? One of the basic works is Theological Dictionary of the Old Testament. Here are a few quotes from that. Just let's read those because they are critical. The Tetragrammaton, Yahweh, is the personal name of God. You know. The form Yahweh is now almost accepted universally. That's pretty good. Since the Hebrew verbal system distakes the ending of E, we conclude that the pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton in the biblical period is Yahweh. Now, I have a little footnote there for all you biblical modern Hebrew folks. The early biblical pronunciation appears to be Yahweh with a labial. I learned this at Fuller. They drew a little diagram when I was taking Greek and Hebrew. And, you know, you use your lips, what, to pronounce the W. But on the V, you go labial dental. That's too technical, Teresa, but that's. So in the modern Hebrew, it would probably better pronounce Yahweh. And even in, you know, if you want to get real technical, go over to Dr. Brueggemann, the Hebrew Old Testament, and he would do a little Yahweh. You know, maybe a little guttural in the middle of there somewhere. But, you know, that's too technical. We just know it was a proper name, and now it's just a generic God, Lord. But we know the Lord God, our Father, is the most important thing. So the consensus of modern scholarship supports the biblical text in associating the name with the Hebrew root, Hayah, to be or become. It's impossible to do justice to the complexity of this. By the way, there are about 5,727 websites if you just type in the name Yahweh under Google. I mean, it's never ending. You could wear yourself out. What did Solomon say? Much study will weary the soul on this. So, but let's just try to get the basic point. The Mosaic representation of the covenant deity hangs within these attributes of Exodus 34, 6, and 7. You know, the first time God shows up to Moses beside the burning bush, and we'll get to that in a second, he comes down in a cloud, hides him in the cleft of the rock, the old song, Rock of Ages. And he passes by and he pronounces his name, however it is pronounced, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding love, abounding in truth, maintaining faith, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet does not leave the guilty unpunished. If you want to know what the name is, ask God. This is who he's about. Amen. God by God, right? Oriana from Old Testament studies. This is God by God. You don't have to ask Jim Rich what God's all about. Well, you can ask him and he will tell you a good answer. But ask, look at God's own words, the ipsissima verba of the Lord God himself. I'm compassionate, gracious, and very patient, abounding in love, abounding in truth, forgiving wickedness, abounding in sin, yet does not leave the guilty unpunished. So let's take advantage of his compassion and grace. This is our God. And I was amazed to find out how little I knew about this thing called the Tetragrammaton. I knew the Tetragrammaton, Yod Heh Vav Heh, you know, in the, by the way, the Hebrew is read right to left, so it goes this way, Yahweh in our, but I never dug deeply. In the Exodus 3 passage, the name Yahweh is initiated by God in Exodus 3, reviewed in Exodus 6, and that's an interesting study. One commentator on I Am Who I Am, was it John Huston or Charlton Heston who said that in the movie? I am who I am. Suggested God was telling Moses, mind your own business, do what I told you. Let's turn to Exodus 3, just for the fun of it. Just turn to Exodus 3 to get this picture. And I can just see God doing that. You know, I believe God even has a sense of humor. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to get away from, can I get away? Okay, I can move around. Oh, thank you. God bless you. So this is when God shows up. He's already, the burning bush has taken place. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob in verse 6. But go down to verse 10. Therefore come and I'll send you to Pharaoh. So this is a conversation, right? Simple conversation between God and Moses. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I? That I should go to Pharaoh. And God said, verse 12, I'll be with you. It's almost like, what do we say in the South?
Get on out of here.
You know, God says, I'll be with you. Then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going, and I'll say, the God of our father sent you. But now tell me, now they may say to me, what's his name? Moses had just asked, who am I? And God says, I am who I am. What's the Hebrew? A yay, asher, a yay. You know, it's almost like I'm the existing one. The French do very well on this. I don't know French, but Sir Anthony does. And it's basically translated, l'éternel. Is that a good pronunciation?
L'éternel.
L'éternel. Like, he's there. He's eternal. He's the existing one. Very similar to Revelation 1:4. The is, the was, and who is to come. That's our God. Amen. He's always existed. He exists. He's eternal. So you tell him I am who I am. And then he goes on to say, verse 15, God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, this is where the tetragrammaton comes in, the Lord, Yahweh, says to you, go. And he says at the end of the verse, this is my name forever. And this is my memorial name to all generations. Now, a name can't totally encapsulate the being of God, of course. We're limited. But that's what God said. And I wonder how we've lost that just a little bit. Let's go on in my little. And so next I went to the TDNT, Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. This is the middle of the page, page 2. I was surprised it had almost as much or more on the Tetragrammaton and the discussion of the Old Testament name for God. The gist of the article, let me catch up here. The gist of the article is that we went from a very proper name, Yahweh, to a generic Kyrios, or Kyrios, Lord or Lord. Let me just read this. The word Kyrios, Lord, as a name for God in the Septuagint is a strict translation only in cases for the divine name Yahweh. It is thus meant to express what may be seen at once from the switching, that the name signifies in the original, that it does not altogether succeed in this, may be seen at once in the switching from a name to a generic concept. So you've got a name, Yahweh, Yahweh, and then you go from a name to a concept, God. And we've done that most kind of with Christ as well, haven't we? You know, Christ is a title. Mashiach, Messiah. And we now just say Christ. So, what do you do? The most important verse in the Bible, and Anthony has just really driven this home. If you haven't gotten his Adonai paper, that's in the back, and I put a little footnote in, but Psalm 110:1 may be the central most important verse in the Bible. And we've messed up the first word, and we messed up the second word. The Lord said to my Lord, maybe it's the third word, my Lord. We're messing up the first word. We're messing up the second word. I'm getting a little ticked. I mean, you know, who am I? I'm just a country boy from Pumpkin Center, Louisiana. I shouldn't get upset about this, but, you know, if we try to get everything else right, you know, the compassion and grace and love of God, well, why not get some of this, you know, who the Lord Jesus is right and who the Lord God is right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now. A title is not a name, compare Christ, but can come to a close representation. The obvious case for the problem of losing the name of God is seen in the translations of Psalm 110:1. Yahweh says to Adonai, my Lord. Or the Lord says to my, the NSB is not good. So what they decide to do, let's just capitalize all the Old Testament references in the updated NASB, right? Now, I learned some of this from Dustin. I was getting frustrated one day, and I said, why are they doing this? He said, well, look at the updated version compared to the old dated version, and so it helped me. But in Acts 2:34, capitalizing everything as a quote, it gets worse with works with Bible Works 8. And this is from a literal cut and paste. I just cut this section out, and I put it in the paper, and here's what it is. NASB, this is the old, not updated version, Matthew 24. The Lord said to my Lord. Does anybody see a problem there? Brian, Houston, we have a problem. Do you see the problem? It's switched. It's switched, Jim. They've hidden my Lord God. It's almost like, you know, where have they hidden when Jesus was resurrected? Where have they hidden they've hidden my Lord God. It's a little Lord. My Lord. What did I say? Lord, have mercy. It's a little Lord, and now the Adonai, my Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is the big Lord. Look at that. Mark 12:36, David himself said, the Lord said to my Lord. I got mad. I'm writing Dustin and Anthony and Sean, and I'm saying, what's up? What's wrong with this picture? They've changed the Lord, Yahweh, to Lord. And my Lord, Adonai, to my Lord. Now, should Bibletarians be upset or not? Yes! Can you hear me in the back, John? Yes! I think we should be at least a little concerned. I think I need to write or call by, and I did. And the guy was very polite. He says, you know, I think some translator has made a mistake in that, and we will look into it. A very nice note. And that's all you can do is just keep it in front of them on Adonai and then the Lord God as well. You know, Bart Ehrman has his book, The Orthodox Corruption of Scripture. And I was wondering if some scribe, some translator, just, you know, for Orthodox Trinitarian sake, just put this in to what he thought. And I'm like, not good. These issues may be accidental or an example of that. Maybe that's why the updated NAU has it all capitalized. You know, just capitalize it all. We won't make a mistake. Well, still, that doesn't get to the point. Only the King James Version and the New King James Version has Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and then Adonai with the little Lord. And so that would be better. And I've given you those examples of that. The Lord said to my Lord. But the Lord said to my Lord, no. The Lord said to my Lord, oh, better. The Lord said to my Lord, okay. The Lord said to my Lord, that's the best. So Anthony and Bob Jones, I was yelling at Bob Jones, Bob, why are they doing this? He looked up 21 translations. He says, they all do that. You know, they all just generically say, Lord, and Lord. And it went from Yahweh to Lord, to Lord, to Lord, and other things. Surprisingly, some of the more liberal paraphrases, according to Bob, are closer to truth, like the Living Bible. At least, God said to my Lord, the Messiah, you know, or the message. God said to my Master. This is better. And, of course, Anthony is doing excellent work in on the second Lord, Adonai, noting a total of 195 times, the Adonai, the my Lord, is never, is that a double negative or deja vu? Is never. I think that's a typo. Is never, maybe I did that for him, a title of deity. The big issue is, do not confuse Yahweh, the Lord God, with the Lord Messiah. Amen? I mean, come on now, folks, I remember Joel Hempel said, come on now, folks. We don't need that, you know. The big issue is don't confuse. Now, if we would use the name as in the original, it would be much less confusing. Cultures tend to be to use the first Yahweh, Lord, in the light of their culture. In Swahili, it's Bwana, big W, big A, big N, you know, all capitalized. And the little next, the Adonai is Bwana. Well, that's interesting. Portuguese, since we're going to Mozambique, I've been looking at the Portuguese. Senor, capitalized. That's okay. In Chichewa, it's Jehovah, and we know Jehovah is a mixing of the Kari and Katib, and so we'll get into that a little bit later. In the French, it's L'Eternel, you know, and that's I like that. At least it's kind of like the existing one, the one who is, was, and is to come. But from the French Bible, Jerusalem Bible, it's Yahweh. There you go. Now here's... Isn't it funny that the French Catholics have gotten closer than anyone? Yet now, as of June 2008, the Vatican has told them you can't use the name in liturgy and worship. They can't read that in their church services. Lord have mercy. Bless their hearts. No, it's not sad. It's funny. No, it's not funny. It's crying. It's a crying shame. It's sad. Okay, I don't want to get too involved. I'll start throwing things. Studying this, I'm scared that we aren't fearing and honoring the awesome name of the Lord our God. It was beautiful. When Vince and I were in the Congo, they started singing a song. Since they have the French, Yahweh, they would sing, Nimwe, Nimwe, Yahweh. And I'm like, whoa, this is good. We got a few songs with the name of the Lord God in it, in the Congo, in the middle of deepest, darkest Africa. Who was that? Joseph Conrad. The deepest, darkest place. They got a little light going there. The name, Bethany Dillon in her new song, The Kingdom, has, you know, searching through the night, show me the light. Yahweh, show me the kingdom. We need more of those songs. Let's don't back off. Does the Bible ever say, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God? Does it say that? Come on now. Rachel, does it ever say that? No. It says, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Amen? So we are never told. So what happened to the Jewish, and how did they get that tradition of not ever speaking the name of God? At least in holiness. And now they said, during the biblical times, only the high priest once a year would say the name. And if he didn't pass it on to the next generation, the pronunciation was lost, and that's what they think. But I get carried away. Exodus 3:15, God said to Moses, the Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name to all generations. Jump down to the last one. I won't read those scriptures. You can, but in Acts 15:17, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. So literally in the New Testament, we've lost it. Even if there were a Matthew Aramaic or a Matthew Hebrew, something happened. Maybe this is a Reformation time, but remember Jesus' prayer. I forget which page I'm on, so I have to turn that, right? Okay. Jesus' prayer, Father, glorify your name. And that should be our prayer. Father, glorify your name in us as well. The psalmist in Psalm 8, 1 and 9 has in the Hebrew, Yahweh, my Lord, how majestic is your name. As it is majestic and awesome and used more than any other name for the Lord our God in the Bible, let us use it in honor and reverence. Is that correct English? Let us use in honor and reverence that name more. And yeah, I think we should. I think we should use it. But in reverence now, not in vain, but in reverence. And so they had this obscure practice, and I'll get into that a little bit. But the original practice, beginning around 300, of not pronouncing the name of Yahweh, developing a Kiri, what is to be said. And so this is when if you just go to Wikipedia, has everything, doesn't it? You punch in Yahweh in Wikipedia, and it has the tetragrammaton there. And in one page, it has little red dots above and below. Those are the vowels. They're placing vowels around Yahweh for what is to be said. And so they would say Adonai or Elohim, you know, some even Hashem. So they would put the vowels for Adonai or Elohim around the tetragrammaton. That's where the confusion of Jehovah came into being. And most of you who've studied that know that. And so that's, you can read my article, that Yahweh, the ineluctable God. I had to look that word up, by the way. Didn't have a clue what it meant, Mark. Ineluctable, down at the bottom. Not to be avoided, changed, or resisted. So this name, according to TDNT, is not to be changed, avoided, or resisted. And yet we're avoiding it, we're changing it, we're resisting it. So let's lighten up a little bit. Let's start using it more. Amen? That's all I'm asking. Okay. Let me read some of these quotes from the TDNT. Thus, the use of the Ketuv Adonai seems to have started a development of the Tanika transmission, which finally in the Kri, what is said, led to, look at this, the complete exclusion of the divine name in the text. That the very sound of the divine name is completely excluded. It's an act of immeasurable consequence in the history of religion. And it only bolsters Satan's Trinitarian orthodoxy. I say that very gracefully and kindly, but it seems to only bolster the emperor's new, now old clothes of orthodoxy. Doesn't it? It does. I don't know. It just. For the basic text never means that God or Lord is a name. Think about it. Use of the name disclosed an ineluctable demonstration of divine reality. The original divine name, Exodus 3, comes from the lips of God himself. The nature of God is thus compressed in the name of God. Yahweh, I am who I am. I am the existing one. I'm the one who is and was and is to come. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. The name of God is meant to express something like existence. This is a good one. This is a good quote for our Orthodox friends. Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one. Its import is that Yahweh is a single person, not many. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Ehad. You know. It, you know, don't even go where the Jews go, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, the Lord. But Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Not two, not three, not 27. Lord, bless us as we study this. Despite the Jewish tradition of not ever speaking the name of Yahweh, and the Catholics, June 2008, you can do that on a Google search, joining the tradition, the Bible, I have a double negative in here somewhere. The Bible does not ever say thou shalt not just use the name of the Lord. It says don't use the name of the Lord in vain. Amen? So let's use it in purity and reverence for the Lord our God, Father. You know, it's Jesus who prays. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear. So like Brother Joel's telling us, we ought to get the name right and the relationship right, and maybe our prayers will be answered more. I don't know. I'm going to try it. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, this is my double negative. Hallowed does not mean, I should say, ever using it. Of course, this can be taken to extremes. And you know, there's some nuts on the internet. You know? And this is what to do. Some of the radical Yahweh name groups even put Yahweh wherever the text, the word itself, has the Elohim for God. And I think that's too far. I'm not going nuts on this. I don't think. You may think so, but They even have you can look up the Assemblies of Yahweh. Now, they have every other doctrine wrong, but they think they've got the name of God right. And then they're even association Yahweh with Jesus. That's not Psalm 110. Yahweh says to my Lord, the Messiah, we need to restudy the name. Can you imagine? Even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they know that Jehovah is an incorrect, misunderstood translation. You can find that on the internet. But they don't change the name since it's been a tradition since the Reformation. Oh. Think of the number. When we were in the middle of Mozambique, I don't know if you remember this, Sean, or not. In the middle of Mozambique, you pass a Kingdom Hall. Jehovah's Kingdom Hall. Think of the number of Kingdom Hall names and signs that would have to be changed. I see a little humor in that. I'm sorry. Rather than Jehovah, Yahweh. Hallelujah. Well, traditions that are wrong are wrong. We who claim a current heterodox position, yet biblical position on the nature of God, the nature of Jesus, aren't any better on this tradition quite often. How many songs we still sing with Jehovah? How many sermons still know Jehovah when Yahweh or Yahweh, though not necessarily perfect or much better? We don't know the true exact pronunciation. Before I show further exasperation, let's go back to the original topic. I thought you would call me Father. That's the whole point of this. Jesus' main teaching was on God as Father. And I did my little Bible work search on this too. Father's used 355 times in the New Testament. 249 times the word is used in the Gospel. Over half of those times, about 170 times, Jesus is speaking about God, his Father, and our Father. We could look in all the verses. You know, John 20:17. I ascend to my Father, to your Father, to my God and your God. Isn't that beautiful? We're missing something here. You know, the third paragraph on the page. God's name, Yahweh, is a memorial name. It is not to be taken lightly. Over 199 times, the Hebrew says, Ani Yahweh. I am the Lord. In the English, it's translated. And as Dennis is going to present his paper. By the way, I had a fun time. My office is right next door to the copier, right beside the copier at Atlanta Bible College. So I hear this clickety click. I said, okay. And there was a book coming off there one time. I said, who's writing a book for theological conference? And it's Sean Finnegan. When we get there, he's got like 26 pages. But Dennis also has a paper on. You don't need Hebrew and Greek. You know, if you got a concordance, if you read the front of your Bible, it explains how Lord goes to Yahweh. You can get this. You don't need to know Hebrew and Greek. You know, it's just there. God's name is there. And God says, I am the Lord 199 times. This is critical. He's telling us who he is. There is a God and you are not him. Remember the movie Rudy? Two indisputable facts of the universe. There is a God, and you are not him. He's the existing one, the eternal one, the one who is and was and is to come. You are not him. This is our Lord God. This is the one that we need to think about. You know, and he says, I am the Lord. It's like almost, it seems like out of exasperation he says that. Leviticus 19. Do this because I am the Lord. I'm Yahweh, your God. I think the Hebrew is, Ani Yahweh Eloheinu. I'm the Lord your God. Do this. And Leviticus, if you want to check it out, Leviticus 19, 16 times. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You want to get further exasperated? Go to Ezekiel 20, where the elders of Israel show up to Ezekiel and says, hey, we need to talk. We need a word from God. And God tells Ezekiel, listen, I'm the Lord and I'm not talking to them. Eight times, or is it nine times? Eight or nine times God says, I am the Lord and I'm taking them out. No more answered prayers for those folks. They desecrated my temple. They had their backs to me in the Holy of Holies. I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, and I'm not listening to them. Turn to Isaiah 45. The third chapter that has the most I am the Lord's is Isaiah 45. And it seems like God is just getting kind of frustrated in our lack of understanding of who He really is. You know? And I just want to read this. Now the context is Cyrus. 45:1. Thus says Yahweh to Cyrus, his anointed. So he's telling the future for these people. And Isaiah's time, and Cyrus is not coming along for another 100 years or so. Verse 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places so that you may know that it's I. I am Yahweh, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Verse 5. I am Yahweh and there's no other besides me. There's no other God. Verse 6, that men may know from the rising to the setting sun that there is no one beside me. I am Yahweh, the one forming the light and creating darkness, causing well-being, creating calamity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. Drip down, O heavens, from above. Let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and salvation bear fruit and righteousness spring from it. I am Yahweh and I created it. Do you see the beauty of that? It's beautiful. I am the Lord and there's none else, no other God. Verse 18. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, who created the heavens. He is God, who formed the earth and made it. He established it and He did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh and there's none else. I am the Lord, I am Yahweh, verse 19, and I speak righteousness, verse 21. Is it not I, Yahweh, and there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and Savior? Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Isn't that beautiful? What do you do with that? And Jesus says, glorify your name, Father, and the Father says, I have glorified it and will glorify it. Another interesting study, and we won't go there because of time. We got about 12 minutes. But they shall know that I am the Lord. And Ezekiel, more than any other, they shall know that I am Yahweh. They shall know. So our job as kingdom preachers and teachers, at least when we're rulers over 10 cities and 5 cities and whatever, is to tell the one true God. The Muslims have it almost right. The Jews have it almost right. The Muslims have the one God and miss the Adonai, our Lord Messiah, don't they? The Jews have the same, a similar situation. Isaiah 19, I think it is, says that, you know, Egypt and Assyria will be a third. We will be teaching these people who are so close yet so far from the true God. Psalm 110, I think Anthony's going to write a book, and he should, on Psalm 110. We need to get the first word right. We need to get the third word right. This person says to this person. Who is that? It's the center of the universe, if you will. The Lord God, Yahweh, El Shaddai, says to my Lord Jesus, who died for my sins. I have some scriptures in here, you know. Blessed be the God and Father, the God and Father, the God and Father, the God of the Lord Jesus, the one God and Father of all, to God and Father of our Lord Jesus, God and Father. How many times does he have to say it? Joel Hempel says, does it take once or twice? How about 10? Where is Jesus now? He's at the right hand 21 times. Where is Jesus? At the right hand, the Lord. Now there's that NAS. I should have taken that out. Lord to my Lord. No, the Lord God said to my Lord, sit at my right. Where's Jesus? At the right hand, the right hand, the right hand. Is he on the main throne, as Joel says? No. No. We need to be careful. In a couple versions of the New Testament written in Hebrew, the name is used about 200 times. There are about 300 quotes from the Old Testament directly into the New Testament. I haven't done a study yet, but I'm waiting for Sean and Dustin or some other student to look that up. How many of those quotes literally in the Old Testament had the name of God? You know. And so, where do we go from here? How do we love Yahweh, our God, with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind? How do we build a relationship with Him and become one with Him as Jesus taught us? The answer is as we have always said, very biblically and carefully. Maybe in 20 years or so, our songs and sermons will reflect His majestic and awesome name, and we will be drawn closer and closer to our Father through Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah and Lord. And so, I'm not being radical on this, but I'm just saying, you know, let's get the words right. If we are claiming to be Biblitarians, let's focus on the text. And so the text uses the name. In Appendix A, I just broke it down. Similar to what Anthony did for Adonai, I did for Yahweh. And so 6,007 times Yahweh is used. To Yahweh, Le Yahweh, 577 times. In Yahweh, but Yahweh, 105 times. Ve Yahweh, 99 times, and Yahweh. And so, Me Yahweh, Ke Yahweh, Ha Yahweh, She Yahweh. Almost 7,000 times the name is used. And I think we could use it once or twice in a sermon now and then. Amen? I think we need to do it. Oh, I've got to tell you my story. Back in Pumpkin, I'll end with a Pumpkin Center story. Is that all right? Back in Pumpkin Center, we were growing up. We had 17 first cousins surrounding us on the hill, Martin Hill. And, you know, I have an older brother and a younger brother and an older sister. Looks just like Sarah, by the way, red hair and so on. But anyway, that's why I like Sarah so much. But my older brother was getting to be about 15, real smarty pants, you know, real smart aleck, we call them in Louisiana. And we had moved my grandmother's house just south of our existing home place. And it was a beautiful old home. You could go from the living room to the kitchen to the bedroom to the bathroom to the other bedroom and just go in a circle all around. And my brother was getting a little older, and I was maybe 12 and he was 14 or 15 or something like that. And one day in Grandma's house, he used the GD word. Now, in Baptist circles that I grew up with, that's the third commandment. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I remember my grandma got a broom like this one that Rebecca bought. And she started chasing him around that little house. Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain in my house. You will not use it in my living room. You will not use it in my kitchen. You will not use it anywhere in my place. So she was my grandma was like the granny on Beverly Hillbillies. You're like this high. And Bill's already like this. And she's chasing him. You will not use it. So Bill runs out of the house. Granny runs out of the house. You shall not use the name of the Lord thy God in my property, in my house, anywhere around me. And he's going. And finally he ran off into the woods. Me, that was like, wow, Granny, I'm never going to say that. But we have an opportunity to get it right. Amen. I got some appendices there that have some more things. There's 45 times the Bible says God and Jesus are Jesus and God. 45 times. What does it take to get it right? God alone, you know, the Father of, you know, the right hand, Christ and God. No other. 1, 2, 3, about 15 times. One God, only God. I didn't put in Maker 24 times, Creator 7 times. What does it take? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. We ask your blessing on us. Keep us in your hands. Father, you are so great. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Yahweh Shabaoth, the Lord of hosts, our Creator, our Maker, our Sustainer, who gives us life and breath in all things, and more than anything else, has given us Jesus through the womb of Mary. Lord, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.